Wonder, will you turn with me this morning in your Bibles? We want to look at John chapter 18, and we want to read the first 9 verses, and then we will skip down to verse 15, and then we will skip down again, but you just follow me, and I'll lead the way. But we want to start at John chapter 18, and commencing at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou givest me have I lost none. And moving down to verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. The servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. We'll just end our reading there at the end of verse 27. We know that God always blesses the public reading of His Word, the truth of God. Perhaps we could just turn to the Lord and ask Him for help from on high. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank Thee for the passage that we have read here today. But, O Lord, now as we would contemplate the content within these few verses, we would ask, O Lord, for clarity of mind. We would ask, O Lord, for help from on high. We would ask, O God, for the fullness of the Spirit of God to be upon us all, that, O Lord, our hearts would be open to the things of God. O Lord, forbid it that we would be closed to Thee today. In our Savior's name. Amen. Many years ago, a young man stood to his feet. There was a hush of anticipation across the room. The audience that were there that day, well, they were wedding guests. And the young man, he was the best man on that occasion. And although visibly nervous, there was the tremble of the hand and the quiver of the lip. The hush became a complete silence as he rattled a spoon upon the edge of a glass. He then began to read out the cards and the telegrams from those well-wishers who could not be present on that happy occasion. The bride and the groom, they listened intently. It was their day. The last telegram to be read out was sent by a Christian gentleman, a good friend of the family, one who knew the newlyweds very well. And having wished them well for their big day, his thoughts then turned towards their future lives together. And he wanted to impart to them some advice. The last line of the telegram simply read this: "Please read 1 John 4, verse 18. And of course, this verse was a most suitable verse for that day. A Bible was called for, but instead of reading out the intended verse, yes, one that was most suitable, most favorable for that occasion. That verse simply reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." But this was not the verse that was read that day. You see, in their haste to get a Bible and to look up the reference, they read out John 4, verse 18. And not 1 John 4, verse 18. And to the dismay of the young couple, and indeed to the dismay of all who were present, these words rang out across the gathering: "For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband." Now, though this is just a humorous story, there is, however, this morning, a very important lesson for us to glean. And that is, the smallest of things, just one word, well, that can make all the difference. All the difference in this world. And it is with that thought in mind this morning that I want to turn you again to John chapter 18. Because within this passage, there are 2 short statements. And apart from one word, they are virtually identical. One statement was made by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other was made by the Apostle Peter. This morning I want to simply look at the "I am" of the Lord Jesus Christ and the "I am not" of Peter. And the first thing we want to look at is this: the truth and the lie found behind these 2 statements. Now, our story begins very simply in verse 1. We are told how the Lord Jesus Christ, on this occasion, just as on many other occasions, takes his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place that they often went to rest a while. But listen, there was going to be no resting on this dark, darkest of nights. Because out of the darkness came a group of men headed by Judas Iscariot. They were brandishing lanterns and torches and weapons. We knew it was late. The hot eastern sun had sank far down in the sky. We knew it was dark because why else would these men be carrying torches and lanterns? But this scene reminds me This scene here in the Garden of Gethsemane reminds me of another garden, the Garden of Eden. And there we read of another man. His name was Adam. And he too was lingering among the shadows of the trees in the cool of the day. The sun had almost disappeared. It was late and the sun was sinking. And it was because of his sin that Adam was lingering among the trees. He was in fear and in trembling. He was ashamed and he was hiding from God. But in the passage before us here in Gethsemane, the roles have been reversed. The spotless, sinless Son of God, the second Adam, having absolutely nothing to hide, he stepped out of the shadows. From among those shadows, he stepped out as he seen the mob coming toward him. And he said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" What a question. What a question to your hearts today. Whom seek ye in this service this morning? Are you here because it's out of habit? Are you here to seek the Lord God Almighty? They, of course, on that occasion, were seeking Jesus of Nazareth. Then in verse 6, look what it says there. We read that the Lord answered, "I am He." Now the first and most obvious thing that we can say here about the Lord's answer was that it was a most truthful answer. It was a statement full of truth. Yes, it was short, but it was full of truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Of course, we would expect nothing less from the lips of the Savior. One who was spotless, one who was sinless. May the Savior even in one occasion announced that he himself was the truth. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The book of Proverbs reiterates this by declaring every word of God is pure. John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Oh, this should bring us great encouragement this morning. Those of us who are saved, listen, every word, every promise, every statement, no matter how hard perhaps it is to grasp because of our present situation, every last one from God is true, pure and untainted. In the darkest hour, in the time of trouble, whenever all around has let us down, when all around we are disappointed, we can still turn to God and to His Word. And we can know that what we have before us in our hand is still the truth. Nothing but the truth. Never this world and the brains and the intelligence of it, the men of science, and they make all sorts of claims as to the origin of this world. Or whenever the experts of human psychology make all sorts of suggestions to why men behave as they do, making excuses for all sorts of deviant and base behavior. Listen, we already have the truth as to all these matters. No matter how many letters they have behind their name, No matter how well they can speak and present an argument, no matter how much they try to confound us with their lie, we have the truth. It's found in God's Word. Let me say today, let God be true and every man a liar. But not only do we have the truth of God in the statement, "I am He," but we also have to look at the lie. In Peter's statement, when he said, "I am not," what a contrast we have to the truth of the Savior. Again and again and again, Peter lies about his association with the Lord as that evening wore on. In stark contrast to the truthfulness and the purity of the Savior's statement. Peter's statement was nothing more than a barefaced lie. Both these men had been asked questions that night. The Savior was questioned by a mob threatening violence, coming armed upon him in great numbers. Peter, on the other hand, was questioned by a young damsel on her own, unarmed. Now, although there is really no excuse for it to happen, but say for talk's sake, if a man was to be set upon by a violent mob to do him some harm under the cover of darkness, can you picture that scene? Perhaps certain fears might well cause that man to lie to save his own skin in the spur of the moment. But not some question from a young damsel. Peter didn't need to do such a thing, but he did. You know, whenever the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, he reminded Timothy of the need to always, always be truthful. As one who was ordained to preach and as an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, said Paul. What a rebuke this statement was to the likes of Peter. Peter, who was both a preacher and an apostle. But let me tell you this morning that the very same principle applies to each and every one of us here who are saved, and indeed who even are not saved. We are always to speak the truth, but especially to those who are saved. Let me tell you tonight, you may not be counted amongst the great preachers. You may not be counted amongst the apostles. But let me tell you, to a greater or lesser degree, you are an ambassador for Christ. You're bound to Him. And we are all to speak the truth. We should never tell lies. Never even under duress or pressure. Have you forgotten the 9th commandment this morning? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Let me tell you, to tell a lie is no different than to take a knife and plunge it into a man and murder him. To tell a lie is no different than to commit adultery or idolatry or to break the Lord's day. You see, in God's scales, there is no difference. The breaking of any of His commandments are all equally wrong. May we this morning listen and learn to put a guard upon our mouths. Knowing the danger of the tongue, God has even given us some natural barriers, natural guards for our mouths. We have our lips, we have our teeth, we have our gums. And my, even some of the gentlemen might sport a nice face of hair, a beard, a mustache. These are the natural guards. But may we also be like King David this morning. King David prayed a prayer, make it the prayer of your own heart. He said to the Lord, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door off my lips. May we always speak in truth. May we get a name for doing so. Not that we might have the glory, but that in doing so, the name of our blessed Savior will always, always be magnified before others. But we want to move on this morning, because not only was there the truth of the Savior's statement, not only was there the lie in Peter's statement, but secondly, there is the power and the weakness behind these two statements. Now, I want you to look carefully at the passage that we've read. Three times, so you can't miss it. There's no excuse. Three times in verse 6, 7, and 8, you will read, I am He. Now you look carefully and you will notice that the word He is in italics. This simply means that that word He is not in the original. It has been placed there to help us with our English translation. Therefore, Christ's answer that night can be equally rendered as, I am, full stop. Now the Jewish people knew all about the I am. This was the very title that Jehovah had given to describe himself to Moses way back there in Exodus chapter 3. As Moses stood before the burning bush, I am that I am, sent you Moses. And any subsequent use of this title would always be associated with the Lord God Jehovah. You know, this was the very reason why the Jews, in great anger, with great venom, and with great violence, in the end of John chapter 8, gathered up stones to stone the Savior. Because he declared to those men and women, I am. And they did not like it. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. God manifest in the flesh. Part of the Godhead. He had every right and the full authority to use this title, I am, when he answered his accusers. In fact, the book of John is full of the I ams of Christ. A lovely little study if you want to do it there at home by yourself. You look them up. But not only had the Savior every right to use this title, but in this passage we discover the sheer power that there was in his words. Look there at verse 6. This is an amazing verse. This is something we can't overlook this morning. Verse 6 says that as soon as the Lord said, I am, it says that these are the mob, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now we cannot read something like this and skip over it without some kind of explanation. Now, we all know situations in the Bible where men did come before the Lord and fall down before him. They fell down in front of him in humility and in adoration, knowing that they had met with the Savior. But not this mob. This mob fell down backward. Now, the modern day critics, and I have read some of their thoughts on this, modern day critics would say that this mob fell down because they were simply overcome by the honesty and the truth seen in the Lord. Now, I have seen many's a mob. I've seen many's an armed gang. You'll be wondering where I come from, but I have seen them. And let me tell you, I've never seen any of them ever collapse or fall down when they're confronted with the truth. The reality of this verse is this. It was the sheer power of the voice of the Son of God that drove them backward to the ground this morning. The voice of God is a most powerful thing. Let me tell you, you take your Bible and you study out the power of the voice of God. You open your Bible there at Genesis chapter 1. And you will read there about the one who spoke the word and the worlds were created. God only had to open his mouth and everything was made out of nothing. Here we have the voice that had the power to create. Remember then when the disciples were out in the little ship? Great story for the boys and girls. They were being carried away, tossed about in the great storm. And they all feared for their lives. Big, burly fishermen. Must have been bad. Thought they were going to perish. Then Christ arose. And by the power of his voice, he said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Listen, this was the voice of the one who had the power and the authority over his creation. Remember the two sisters? Their two cheeks were tracked with tears. They lamented and they mourned along with others. And there came the time when they gathered at the graveyard. And the Lord Jesus was there with them. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Listen, this was the voice of the one who had the power and authority over death. Remember the Savior's words, sweet, wonderful words, as he hung there on the cross. And beside him there were the malefactors. One of them, realizing that he was indeed the Son of God, cried on to him for mercy. And what did the Savior do? By the power of his voice, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Listen, this was the voice that had the power and the authority to save. Are you getting the message this morning? What power there is in the voice of our Savior. And just this morning before coming out, thought there of another. There is another voice. It's a description that is found in Revelation 1 verse 15. It is a description that should speak to the heart of the unsaved in this meeting today. Because this is a voice that you will hear one day. Let me tell you what it's all about. You see there in Revelation 1:15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that his voice is as the sound of many waters. Sound of many waters drowns out the human voice. And maybe you have plans to stand before God's throne one day. Maybe you have plans to argue a good case. Let me tell you, you're wasting your time because your voice will be drowned out. And that day, as you stand before his throne, that voice, which is the sound of many waters, will either say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, or you will hear that pronouncement, depart from me, I never knew you. If you're unsaved today in this meeting, oh, may that ring in your ears all day. Oh, you would be troubled over this today. You need to come to the Savior. This is the voice that has the power and authority to judge all the world. I said to the boys and girls the other day, I wouldn't like to be standing before God on that great judgment day, still in my sins, having heard the gospel, knowing the way of salvation and having rejected Christ for some companion in this world, or for some job in this world, because I had too much pride in myself. I'm glad today that whenever I'm there on that day, the Savior will speak on my behalf. And the blood has been applied. Let me tell you, no wonder these men fell down to the ground. They were in the presence of God. They were standing before one who could say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen, they could do nothing else, only fall backward when the great I Am spoke. But then, sadly, there was the I Am Not of Peter. In verse 17, we see these words of weakness. And then we see them again further on, verse 25. Words of weakness, words of denial. This denial came from one who on other occasions was fearless, outspoken, and bold for the Lord. Peter's decline was very gradual. You see, no man falls into sin overnight. It doesn't happen suddenly. No man runs to adultery just out of the blue. You see, men cover up and things are gradual. You see, first of all, we see there in verse 15, Peter followed Christ. And then we read he followed afar off in one of the other Gospels. And then in verse 16, Peter is no longer following. He's only standing. There is no forward advancement. There is no going on with the Lord. And then we read that he had to be coaxed to come a little further. And from then on, it was all downhill. Lie after lie, denial after denial. You know, speaking of the climate that night, we all love to talk about the weather. But speaking of the climate that night, verse 18 says, it was cold. And so was poor Peter's heart. We could go on this morning and remark about the company that he was now in. But we'll just stop there. Suffice to say, Peter, in his weakness, is no different from you or I. And the lesson is this morning, that any one of us here who are saved, it could fall at any time. Any one of us here is capable, yes, before this Lord's day is out, of denying our Lord and Savior and doing it in a most public way, regardless of any former victories that we may have wrought in Christ. Regardless of any exploits that we have done for the Lord in the past, any one of us here could fall today. Let us be careful to remember that there, but for the grace of God, go we. But just to conclude this morning, and simply to sum up and wrap up all that we have to say, Peter said, I am not, because he was only a man. And the best of men, or men at best, he was no different from you or I. We're all prone to sin, to weakness, to coldness, to hardness of heart. But the Lord Jesus Christ is different. He was able to say, I am, because he was God manifest in the flesh. He spoke the truth, and that was indeed his title. He was given all power and authority. This morning, he is our God, the one to whom we come to for our guidance, for our solace, for our strength, and for our help. You know, the I am of Christ was given to cheer the soul. Way there in Matthew 14 and 27, the disciples were despondent. The Lord Jesus Christ said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. That's the same sentiment. And be not afraid. This morning, dear believer, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. We have the I am with us. He's the one that both saves and keeps us. Look on to him this morning. Get your eyes off man. We're all guilty of it. Looking for great preachers. Looking for great evangelists. Get our eyes on the Lord this morning. And all will be well. Men will let you down. Men will disappoint you. But there's no disappointment with the Lord. There's no God like unto our God. And I trust this morning that these few thoughts will be an encouragement to your soul, will be counsel to your soul as you leave today. I am, and I am not. Two little phrases, similar, but my, what a world of difference there is therein. Amen. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer before we separate today. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for the great I Am. Thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy Word that tells us that Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. And our prayer would be this morning that we, each one, would be followers of the way, the truth, and the life. O God, we would ask that Thou would speak even to the hearts, perhaps, of those you're unsaved today. That they would realize that they one day will in person stand before the great I Am. Think of those perhaps today who, like Peter, have perhaps been denying their Savior. But thank Thee, O God, that You didn't leave Peter alone. But then, O Lord, You drew him back on to Thyself. Draw the backslider back today. And, O God, we would pray for the saint of God today, as we would leave this place, that we would rejoice, that we would know what it is to be of good cheer, not to fear, because we have the great I Am with us always. We pray, O Lord, that we'll keep Thy day and we'll be found back here again tonight. Bless, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.